If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. We'll be reading the first 9 verses there. You know, something I think we all have to ask ourselves a lot is, what is most important to us? What makes us feel enriched? What makes us feel wealthy, if you will? Because as Christians, sometimes we put our hopes in all the wrong things. Very similar to what Paul is telling the Corinthian people here in Corinthians. And we're going to be reading the first 9 verses here of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you would rise with me and let's go ahead and read God. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, Father, we're thankful for your holy word today. And Father, we're thankful that you have given us a hope that none other could. And today, I just ask that you would come into the lives of your people on this day. Would we not be enriched by other things outside of you? Father, would we find most holy comfort and guidance in your will? Father, would we find just grace and peace when we call upon your name. And Father, I ask today that as we look into the world and we look at the things around us, Father, would those things not distract us from the truth that you have called us unto? Father, I say these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to be using that word a lot today, enrich or enrichment. What does that really mean? Well, let's define it. Enrichment is the process in which one becomes wealthy or fulfilled. Once again, enrichment is the process in which someone becomes wealthy or fulfilled. So, what fulfills you? What makes you feel fulfilled? What makes you feel wealthy, if you will? One truth that I pray we will learn through today's scripture is that enrichment found in anything besides Christ is a failure on our part. Something the people of God often think is that our enrichment comes from other places. For us involved in the church, we could see enrichment in the very numbers of people that are coming to our church. I've heard stories and read stories of churches that have fallen because their satisfaction came from the amount of people that were in the pews, or their satisfaction came from the offerings that they were receiving. Sometimes the people of God get so distracted by these earthly things that we forget what really should satisfy us. For us involved in the church, these numbers, these successes from an earthly standpoint could be fulfilling, but they will not provide lasting fruit. We can find fulfillment in the building itself. Oftentimes we see churches who their building is their everything and nothing else matters. One church that I heard a story about was a church that received a large sum of money from a donor. And this church decided that the only thing that large sum of money could be used for was the church facility itself. Only a matter of time later, that church found out that using that money for only the building quickly led to the death of the church, because using the income that they were receiving, the gifts they were receiving, but only putting those efforts toward the building, did not prove fruitful in the long run. Paul taught the original church of Corinth in his writings in verse 5, and he said that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Friends, who really is going to be the definer of our success today? Many of us seek to define our own success. We define our success based off of what we've done in our own life, the knowledge, the education that we may have achieved, the monetary value that we may have done, the experiences that we may have lived. But what we must understand today is that Jesus Christ has to be the only defining factor for our success. We fail to recognize that our earthly success, our church's success, is only found through His blood, and if found through anything else, we will fall short. The church needs members, sure. The church needs offering, sure. We need a building to function. In our own lives, we need money in order to live. We need a house in order to live in. These monetary things, they're great things that are necessities for us, but they are not where our worth is found. For some of these things, we take pride. In verse 9, the one statement that really stood above the rest was, and verse 9 says this, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Christ, or Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, we as humans will fail over and over again. If you come to me and you look for infinite success, you're not going to find it, because I will fail you. I'm a human. If you come to any of these other folks in here, we will eventually fail each other because we are humans, and humans fail. But that is just part of our Adam sin nature. But here's the reality. In our nature to make mistakes, God has redeemed us through His grace when we're willing to put our all into Him. If we choose to not allow Him to live in our life, and we define our life success by earthly standards, then what we will shortly find out is, like the church I mentioned, a failure, because we have not found our success, our enrichment, our hope in the right places. We're looking in all the wrong spots. If our lives by these earthly standards are defined, we'll soon find that we don't know where to turn. Because where do you go next in a world in which you don't trust Jesus? We must understand that He is our God and He is our enrichment. Our church building, our home, whatever it is for us personally, is not where it's at. We must understand that He is our God and that He is where our hope is found. Without maintenance, our church building would fall, our homes would fail. That's not what I'm saying at all. But is it where our hope's found? It is God who is faithful to us. Because I can promise you, each thing that is of this earth will eventually fail. Not just us as people, but cars, homes, churches, monetary things will eventually fail. In fact, when He returns, we know it will all be destroyed. And so where is our hope at? Verses 4 through 9, we won't read them again, but they were speaking on giving thankfulness to God. And sometimes we can turn the very church or the people within it into an idol. We worship the idols of worldly success. We can't put our thankfulness on these things or these people because we'll find failure, but we often try to do that. We have to put our thankfulness unto God. And the word that Paul used in Scripture, it is meaning wealth in the original Hebrew. We are to see wealth in God. When we see the name of God, we are to see value, we are to see hope, we are to see enrichment. And if we fail to do so, What we'll soon learn is that He will not dwell with us. His successes will not follow us along. When we fail to put our hopes in Him, it'll only be a matter of time before the rest falls to the wayside. You know, I think so often you see the church compromising, not necessarily our church, but I mean the church as a whole, compromising the gospel for the sake of worldly success. I saw a video this week. I couldn't tell you who it was of. I tried to find the video again because I wanted to kind of show it to you guys, but I couldn't find it anywhere again. But I'll just tell you what the video said. This preacher was standing up and he was preaching about how large his house was, how God had been prosperous in his life to the point of giving him a house that was 20,000 square feet. And he was preaching to his congregation, telling his congregation that when they trust in God, God would give them whatever their heart desired. It didn't matter what it was. And I wish with everything in me I was able to find that video for you guys again, but I was unable to. But I do want to share this with you. If we have a mentality that following Jesus is going to mean that He's going to give us everything we've ever dwelled and dreamed of and wanted, man, we've missed the point, guys. We've missed the point. We see our wealth in the wrong places. We see our wealth in the world. When we see our wealth in the world, it won't be long. Many will become like this man was, so focused on the wealth of the world that we have forgotten what He's called us to. And our hopes and successes can't be based off of these things. Our success as people is non-existent with anything other than Jesus Christ. Our success as people must rely on Him. And the blessings that we have, they're amazing gifts, friends. God has blessed many of us beyond measure. However, we must know that those blessings, they're susceptible to going away. They're susceptible to being destroyed, and they're temporary. The only true indication of our success is, did we find the most value in Jesus, or did we find the most value in the world? Paul was talking to the church of Corinth in these verses, and he was telling them about the works Christ was doing in them. Now, if you go on into Corinthians, what you'll learn is, Church of Corinth was doing some good things, but they were doing some not so good things too. But what we find here is that Paul was encouraging them. He was sharing with them some of these things, the works of great spiritual gifts. And he was telling them that because of Christ, they would be free of accusation on the day of the Lord. Not seeing significant value in the things that He has given us, the blessings that He has given us, or His own name, is a failure on our part. Not seeing significant value in how He has blessed our church in many ways could be a sin on our part. Seeking more, seeking to only find our version of earthly success, but neglecting His blessings already. Friends, look around. Look at our facility. Look at the blessings God has given us on this day. Instead of begging for more all the time, what would it look like if His people just fell on their hands and knees and just thanked Him for the blessings He has bestowed upon us? I think so often we're so caught up with growing, but we don't grow spiritually. We just want to grow numerally. We want to grow in the bank account. We want to grow in the numbers and the pews. But so often, we neglect our spiritual growth by doing this. We look out into the pew today, and I see a lot of faces and I see a lot of stories. And I know in all the stories, each one of you have many of God's blessings upon your life that you could testify to on this day. And what I can tell you is, in my own life, I've been guilty at times of, God, why'd that go wrong? Why'd that happen that way? Kind of mentality. What about the blessings, folks? What about the blessings that He has given us time and time again as a church and as individuals? Where is our hope found? We often look for satisfaction in all of these earthly places. And as Christians, we fail in seeing God as the one who enriches our lives. We see our families often as the ones who enrich our lives, and they can, don't get me wrong. We see our churches as the ones who enriches our lives, or our careers. There's nothing wrong with these things, but do they bring true satisfaction? You know, I would be the first to tell you that I at times have neglected this truth. But this truth is legitimate as could be. In that when we find enrichment in even another person, they're going to fail you. And they're not going to be a lasting satisfaction. I've seen so often in other people's lives where something has happened to an individual that they were close to, or a couple has split up or something like that, and it has tore them apart because they found all of their enrichment in that individual. And they've not found it in Christ. And when we're brainwashed by the world into believing that we can find hope in these things, we'll find failure. There's not lasting value in temporary things. Satan has used the appearance of success or relationships or whatever it may be in our life to manipulate us into believing that if we achieve this goal, if we achieve this relationship, if we achieve this, whatever it is, we're going to be satisfied. And it should really make us sick to our stomach to think that we could be guilty of seeing more value in things of the world than in Christ Himself. Even if those things are other people. Now, don't think I'm telling you that every relationship you have is bad or everything you own is bad. It's not what I'm telling you. But I am telling you, in the grand scheme of things, just as Scripture teaches us, just as Paul taught us in the first 9 verses, that He will return, and when He returns, we need to be enriched by Him. What are we going to find hope in? Is it going to be that we are blameless in the sight of the Lord? Or is it going to be that many different things that we see throughout this world? You know, He has redeemed us, but we have a responsibility to follow in that. For those who have not been redeemed, and you're finding enrichment in all the things of the world, I'm going to promise you today, and I don't take a promise lightly, that you'll soon find that that is not satisfactory. As Christians who are often coming out of conviction, I don't know, I'm sure all of you have seen folks who have been saved and they came out of conviction into salvation. And what we often see is someone set on fire for the works of the kingdom. They're wanting to do everything they can, right? They're wanting to work as hard as they can work. But often what ends up happening is as time passes on, the world convinces them that these things are still of more value than what you thought they were. And often the biggest offenders of not putting God first is the own very comfortable Christian who has taken day after day, walk after walk, to slowly creep away from God and creep back into the world and started to look at the world as, well, it wasn't that bad. I wasn't that bad of a person. And they creep back into this comfortable Christian mentality, and before you know it, they're walking far from God again. It's all because they don't feel enriched by Jesus Christ. They put their hope in the wrong places. Now, I can't speak for your own lives. You are the ones that have to speak for your lives. But I can tell you this. Each one of us have those barriers in our life, those things that the devil is going to try to convince us is better than Jesus. And we have to decide each and every time with those things, are we going to put this before our God, or is our God going to remain first? And we make these things into idols oftentimes. And we can have the best intentions. And that's why I mentioned the church attendance and those sorts of things early on, is because Those things are great intentions. But can we make an idol of it? Absolutely. Can we make an idol out of our own relationship with our spouse even? Absolutely. I'm not saying don't have a great relationship. I love my wife dearly. But if I put my wife above God, I've failed my wife. And I've failed God at the same time. You cannot put the things of the world above God. You know, my grandfather loved two things aside from his family and Jesus. He loved fruit trees and he loved raising honeybees and getting honey off of them. And my grandfather passed away when I was 11 years old, but I'll never forget, my grandfather always would say, I can't remember what I told him one day, but I mentioned something to him about what do you care most about or something of that nature. And Papa looked up and he said, well, I put God first, and then I put your mama, and he said, and then I put my fruit trees and my honeybees. But you know, that always kind of stuck with me a little bit. Because as much as he loved that hobby, and as much as he loved my grandmother, those things were not going before God. We can become so obsessed with things of the world, so obsessed with our hobbies or our enjoyments that we neglect God Himself. And what's most important to us today is really the question each of us will have to answer. And if we find today that our enrichment, our enjoyment doesn't come in God, perhaps we should reevaluate where our hearts are. We see it as something often that we earned, something that we did right, something that we did all on our own success. And you know, often we're like that. We want to be all alone. It's sort of like the little kid whose mommy or daddy is trying to help them, and they look at and the little kid looks at mom or dad, and they go, "No, I can do it all on my own. I don't need your help." I think of Judson yesterday. We were with Dad for his birthday, and Judson was riding a little ride-on John Deere Gator, and he loves that thing, guys. It's so funny. But that aside, he was riding that little thing, and my little brother tried to reach over and hold him. He wanted to hold him into the gator. I told him, I said, "Hold Judson in there. Don't let him fall out." And every time he'd reach over to hold Judson, Judson would go, "No, no, no." He didn't want his help. You know, I think that's what we're like a lot of times. We don't want to think that we need even God's help. We want to think that our successes are on us. We did it. We achieved it. We succeeded. And how often that we try this tactic with God until the moment comes in which we feel we truly need Him. And then, what many of you, I feel, would probably say is, if you have been at a time in your life where you have neglected God, when the moment came that you truly need Him, you were begging for Him to be there. But then, we use Him up through prayer till our crisis is over, and then we leave Him back in the background again. Friends, is it possible that we could be the ones who neglects God's goodness? Is it possible that we could be the ones that are guilty of being in crisis and calling upon God, but all the rest of the time we leave Him alone? The reality is we did not earn our successes, our health, or any of that. It is a gift from God, and that is the value of following Jesus, that He has bestowed upon us redemption and salvation, and a truth of a promise of forever. And those things, those blessings in our life that we've received, whatever it is, they should point back to Him. They shouldn't point away from Him. You know, that video I was watching, the gentleman said that the house wasn't for him, it was for God. Because, you know, I'm sure God really needed him to have a 20,000 square foot mansion. I just kind of snickered at that thought. You know, in the background you hear all these amens going on, and I'm thinking, is that really what we've came to today? That we truly believe that our successes are found in that way. Our church building, our church people, everything here should point back to him, because the only reason any of this can truly have any source of value is when it is not through us. If it's found in us, it has no value. If it's found in Christ, it has value. And when we see him, we should see value, not just another equal part of our lives. It should mean something significant. So what do you see value in today? We all have to decide what is most important to us. Is it the things of the earth? Is it the glorification that we may get from our peers? Is it the possessions we own? Are we seeking to be enriched by our own being, our own self? Friends, each one of us who are here today has to answer these questions. We all have to decide if Jesus is most important to us, or if the things of the earth are what's of most significance. You know, it's funny to me how so often in our lives, when we're walking these doors, for some people, we put on a different face than we do when we're not through these doors. And we want to pretend like we trust God with all of our being and all of our heart. But for many of us, it's simply not true. For many of us, we fail each day in trusting him, and we have to decide today, if we're going to be enriched by Jesus, what's most important to us. You know, all of the things that we could be doing, all of the activities we partake in, the things that are not a part of this church that we are out in the community doing, whatever that looks like in your life, I don't know. But where is the glorification? Is it for you? Or is it for Christ? What's most important to you? As we come to a close here, I do want to ask that each and every one of us would ask that question. What is our enrichment in? What is our satisfaction in? Do we look to Christ, and do we see the true gift that he has given us? Do we feel hope in that? Do we feel peace in that? Or do we feel like we're neglecting that? Are we looking to that for hope? Or are we looking to the world for hope? We all have to decide that today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you, Father, just asking today that if there is one here who says they have never felt enriched by Christ, Father, they've never put their hope in you, and they have no hope for a future at this point. Father, I ask that today would be the day that they seek to call upon your name, Father, to make it right with you today, and Father, that you would do a great work in their lives. Father, I pray today that if there's one here who says, I'm saved, but I don't always feel enriched by Jesus, I put my hope in the world way too often. Father, I pray that today would be the day they would come forward. Father, they would repent for that sin of negligence to you, that sin of not walking closely with you. And Father, I pray that today would be the day that they would make that right. Father, if there's one here, whatever the need may be today, for rededication, for baptism, whatever is on the heart, Father, I pray that today would be the day that they would come. I say these things in your most holy name. Amen.